As we begin this week in the Warren County Radio Bible School, we're going to have our special feature in which we read from the Rockcliffe Review. That is the bulletin that we pass out to those who attend worship with us on Sunday mornings at the Church of Christ at Rockcliffe. And therein will be a summary of the sermon that I'm about to preach. And this one is entitled, "To Sing Praises." It's a sermon from the 47th Psalm. And before we read from the Rockcliffe Review, I would like to read from the 47th Psalm. So, there's an inscription to this psalm. "For the chief musician, a psalm of the sons of Korah. Oh, clap your hands, all ye peoples. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. For Jehovah Most High is terrible. He is a great king over all the earth. He subdueth peoples under us and nations under our feet. He chooseth our inheritance for us, the glory of Jacob whom he loved, Selah. God is gone up with a shout, Jehovah with the sound of a trumpet. Sing praises to God, sing praises unto our King. Sing praises, for God is the King of all the earth. Sing ye praises with understanding. God reigneth over the nations. God sitteth upon his holy throne. The princes of the people are gathered together to be the people of God of Abraham. For the shields of the earth belong to God. He is greatly exalted." Now let me read from the Rockcliffe Review. And the 47th Psalm, the sons of Korah are admonished to sing praises 5 times in quick succession. Sing praises to God, sing praises unto our King. Sing praises, for God is the King of all the earth. Sing ye praises with understanding. Psalm 47, verses 6 through 7. This psalm is not telling us how to worship in the church, but in the church, we sing praises. From the beginning, the church was praising God, Acts 2:47. In their praise, they lifted up their voice together with one accord, Acts 4:24. This was congregational singing. In Hebrews 13:15, the saints were admonished, "Let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually," that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. In Ephesians 5:18 through 19, they were commanded, "Be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord." Likewise in Colossians 3:16, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." Just as the sons of Korah were told, "Sing ye praises with understanding," so also the church was taught, "I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also." 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 15. The New Testament is filled with singing, and so was the New Testament church. Saints still sing praises to God when they assemble for worship. We do not sing praises because the sons of Korah sang praises. We sing praises because the church in the New Testament sang praises. Some read about the use of instruments in the Psalms and thinks we ought to use them in the church. But instruments were not used for worship in the church in the New Testament. Instruments were added later, almost 1,000 years later, and they were opposed when they were added. Those objecting to instruments did so in part because it was turning the spiritual worship of song into a carnal-like performance. Much that passes for worship today is a performance. I've read of people actually rehearsing their worship performances. Their worship time is showtime. They may impress their audiences, but it is worship to be seen of men. It is not a worship of God in spirit and in truth, John 4:23-24. I was recently asked for the scriptures about instruments in the church. I replied that there are none, and that is the problem. There are many scriptures for singing in the church, but there's none for playing instruments in the church. Those who play them do not play them because of what the scriptures say. They play them because of what they say. They took it upon themselves to add the instruments. They reverted back to a worship like the sons of Korah under the old covenant. But unlike the sons of Korah, the instruments they add are all of men and not of God. Some like to clap in worship. Some clap to accompany their song, and some to applaud a performance. We do not read about the church clapping like that in the New Testament. In Psalm 47:1, the sons of Korah were told, "Oh, clap your hands, all ye people. Shout unto the Lord with a voice of triumph." This was not a rhythm accompaniment to their singing, neither was it an applause. This was a celebration of triumph over their enemies. It was as Miriam had done when she took up a timbrel and danced, shouting, "Sing ye to the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and the rider he hath thrown into the sea." She was glorying over the destruction of the Egyptians. She was not teaching the church how to worship. The 47th Psalm is a psalm of triumph. "He shall subdue the people under us and the nations under our feet," Psalm 47:4. God had promised fleshly Israel power over the nations about them, and he had delivered on that promise. Their triumph over the heathen was evidence that God was ruling from his throne. "God reigneth over the heathen. God sitteth upon the throne of his holiness," Psalm 47:8. God still rules, and we still fight. "But we wrestle not against flesh and blood," Ephesians 6:12. "The weapons of our warfare are not carnal," 2 Corinthians 10:12. We fight a spiritual battle against spiritual wickedness. Our sword is the truth of the gospel of the Word of God, Ephesians 6:17. As goes our spiritual warfare, so also goes our spiritual praise. Our instrument is not carnal. The instrument that accompanies our singing is our heart, Ephesians 5:19. And so in that sermon I explain why it is that the churches of Christ do not use instruments in their worship. Because those instruments are not of Christ. They are of men. And if we want to return and restore New Testament worship, we're going to have to leave the instruments that we got from the pagans and that we got from Rome. We're going to have to leave them at home and come and assemble together as God's saints and worship as God has said. We can't go to the Old Testament to find justification for instruments in the church, because the Old Testament wasn't written to show us how to worship in the church. We derive that from the inferences we draw from the New Testament. Now, I read from the Rockcliffe Review, "Because the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rockcliffe. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rockcliffe, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. And in our radio Bible school, we go back to old Sunday school lessons, and I have a volume of old Sunday school lessons that were prepared by E.A. Elam for the Sunday schools of 1926. And I'm looking at a Sunday school lesson prepared for the Sunday schools of November the 7th, 1926. And it's carried us back to the book of Joshua. And I'm turning now in my Bible so we can read along with this. It's in the book of Joshua, chapter 6. And we're talking about the walls of Jericho and how they came down. We read in Joshua chapter 6, beginning in verse 1. Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And Jehovah said unto Joshua, See, I have given into thy hand Jericho, and the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor. And ye shall compass the city, all the men of war going about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days, and 7 priests shall bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark, and the 7th day ye shall compass the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. And it shall be that when they make a long blast with a ram's horn, and when ye hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat. And the people shall go up every man straight before him. And Joshua the son of Nun called the priest and said unto them, Take up the ark of the covenant, and let 7 priests bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of Jehovah. And they said unto the people, Pass on and compass the city, and let the armed men pass on before the ark of Jehovah. And it was so that when Joshua had spoken to the people, the 7 priests bearing the 7 trumpets of ram's horns before Jehovah passed on and blew the trumpets, and the ark of the covenant of Jehovah followed them. And the armed men went before the priests that blew the trumpets, and rearward went after the ark, and the priests blowing the trumpets as they went. And Joshua commanded the people, saying, Ye shall not shout, nor let your voice be heard, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth until the day I bid you shout. Then shall ye shout. For he caused the ark of Jehovah to compass the city, going about it once. And they came to the camp, and lodged in the camp. Now let me read to you Joshua chapter 6, verses 12 through 16. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and the priest took up the ark of Jehovah, and the 7 priests bearing the 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of Jehovah went on continually and blew the trumpets, and the armed men went before them, and the rearward came after the ark of Jehovah, the priests blowing the trumpets as they went. And the 2nd day they compassed the city once and returned to the camp, and they did so 6 days. And it came to pass on the 7th day that they rose early at the dawning of the day and compassed the city after the same manner 7 times. Only on that day they compassed the city 7 times. And it came to pass on the 7th time when the priest blew the trumpets, Joshua said to the people, Shout, for Jehovah hath given you the city. Now, it says in the text that Joshua rose early in the morning. It did not require a great while to compass the city, because they compassed it 7 times on the 7th day. Rising early, then, to make only 1 round a day shows their faith and earnestness and zeal. It has been suggested that they rose early because the mornings were cooler, but this could have been only a secondary consideration, if one at all. For on the 7th day they regarded not the heat, and nothing stands in the way of those who are determined to obey God. The best way to accomplish anything is to begin early. On the 2nd day they went around in the appointed order. The 2nd time they did 6 days, and on the 7th day they rose at the dawning of the day and compassed the city after the same manner 7 times. It is not stated in this solemn procession, marching in silence, save the blowing of the trumpets upon the inhabitants of the city. And it is useless for us to guess. We're going to close the Sunday school lesson out at this point, at least for this program, and continue in our next class.